Morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming, especially before Pesach. I'm sure there are many chores that everyone has to do back at home, but hopefully this will also add to the Pesach experience. You know, last week we talked about chametz, the negative. This week I hope to talk about the mitzvah of matzah, on the positive side of the yontif. And really the question which I want to deal with today, you know, every week we deal with different issues, questions. This might be the toughest question I ever had to deal with. In fact, this is a question that has spanned the ages of all societies. I'm sure if you would ask everyone in this room, ask their grandfathers, they would have had the same question. And this question, I don't really think I'll be fully able to answer, but at least, well, hopefully we'll go in the right direction. And that question is, why is the price of shmur matzah so high?
$64,000.
That question has been increased by a few generations. But the price of matzah, of shmur matzah, when you buy it, where you buy it, I don't know. Not every community across the globe through the ages, generation after generation, you know, people should be running for office on the platform we're going to lower the prices of shmur matzah.
Gosh.
You think you got a great deal.
Yeah, it's from Israel, so I don't know how good it is.
Yes. So why is the price of shmur matzah so high? So today's share, I'm going to try in some small measure to address this issue and give people a little bit of peace of mind to somewhat understand why they're paying so much money. Now, really, you think about it, what is shmur matzah? How many ingredients does it have?
Two
ingredients.
Flour and water.
Now, I hear in New York, the prices for water should be more expensive because they have to filter their water over there.
The
New York bugs in the water.
So New York is big.
That deserves its own share, the bugs in the water.
Then you have to use decaffeinated water on the shmur matzah.
But why, if there's only two ingredients for matzah, flour and water, how expensive could that be? Oh, that's a result, not sure an ingredient. But I'm here today to introduce the third ingredient for matzo, which if you do not have that ingredient, we'll see soon, you will not be yotze. And that ingredient is kavana, is das. If you have flour and water, but you didn't have the das to make that matzo, and we'll see later in the share what exactly that das is. You're not yotze. That ingredient das, that is what spikes the price. That's an intangible, you can't touch it, but it's there, at least it better be there. If you want to be yotze, the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach, you need that your matzah was made with the correct das. That's really matzah shmura, shmura matzah. Shmura coming from the fact that it was watched. That watching, that das, is something which is an integral ingredient for the matzah. And really that's, we'll see soon, is a big reason why the price is where it's at. Now, in today's share, we'll try to touch on some of the aspects of the das of Shmur Matzah. But really, I was trying to think about all the scenarios that the Das plays, and there are many. I don't know if I'll have time to get to it, but you know, it affects the din of Afikomen, especially if you lose your Afikomen, sometimes there's issues involved with that. It could affect many other, you think, outside dinim, things like, what does that have to do with anything? But there are many halachas that it affects. What I'm going to begin with is, in general, who makes the matzahs, and also touching on the famous topic of machine matzahs. So firstly, where's the source that you need das in matzah? So that I didn't put on the sheets, just because it's a little confusing Gemara. But there's a Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Mem, which quotes the Pasuk, Ushmartem es ha-matzos. And the Gemara basically darshes from there. It's a little confusing, different steps. It talks about Karbanos also. But the Gemara darshes the Pasuk, Ushmartem es ha-matzos, that you have to watch the matzos to have matzos for Pesach. You specifically have to watch them. Ushmartem es ha-matzos. Now, how does this play out? So, the first thing I'd like to go through is halacha in Siman Tav Samach that you do have in your sheets. So, the halacha begins, Dinei Matzos Mitzvah. Right? These are halachas of Matzah. So the first thing the Mechaber decided to tell you is a negative. Ein lashin matzos mitzvah v'lo ofen oso. You can't knead matzos mitzvah nor bake matzos mitzvah ayde ein a Yehudi. You can't use a Gentile. V'lo ayde cheresh shota v'kata. Nor could you use a deaf mute person who doesn't have das and a kata. Now, let's first see the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Gimel. It has a lot in that Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah over there writes, Al Yidein Yehudi, I'm sorry, part of it got darkened. Hatam diksev vishmartem et samatzos. The reason why you can't use these people is what we just spoke out, that there's a mitzvah, Torah says you have to watch the matzos. Umas mimizeh, the shmira sha'ata, Meres shel techmos hischavin l'shem matzah shel mitzvah. This watching, which you're going to do, make sure to have in mind for matzah of mitzvah. So right there, you see this ingredient. It's not enough your flour and water. You also need to watch the matzah. Okay. V'nachri v'cheresh shot v'katan lav b'nei shimer ninu. They are people that can't watch it. Why not? So by the Gentile, we'll talk about in a moment, a little more, is we don't know that he's going to have the correct intention. Even though a Gentile is a bar das, we're talking about a Gentile who was already an adult. He's a bar das. But, hey, who says it? Do it our way. And so too, a cheresh shot v'katan is a bigger problem, because we view these people as not fully having das. And therefore, if they don't have das, they can't have in mind this din of l'shma. They can't watch it. And that's why matzah cannot be produced, whether we're talking about the kneading, making out the matzahs, or the baking, by a Gentile or a Chereshot of a Katan. Now, right there, that already gets to answering our question quite a bit. The price of matzah is high. You go to any restaurant, right? Even in Trump's America. You will look in the kitchen, you will find immigrants working. It's the facts of life. That can't go on, we'll see in a moment, in the matzah bakery because of this factor of lishma. Matzahs have to be made lishma. You can't have a Gentile, and you can't also have a chereshot of a katan, because you need to have this correct, this right das of matzah. And that's the ingredient which costs money over here.
But they don't exclude women.
Oh. So I'm going to get to that in a moment. Correct. Innately, women are not excluded. But we'll see this in a moment. Well, the Mishnah Berurah, though, then continues. Now, really, for many cases in halacha, you know, there are many cases that need lishma. You know, when you make tzitzis, it has to be lishma. Make tefillin. Lots of religious objects, religious items need lishma. And sometimes we have an idea called omid al gabav. That if I have a gadol, if I have someone who's an adult, omid al gabav, standing on top of them, that works. Why does that work? So the way Rashi and Tosfos, it comes up on Beis and Beis and Gittin. The reason why Rashi and Tosfos at work is if you need to be lishma, that gadol could instruct and teach the katan to have in mind lishma. He's standing over his shoulder, teaching him, hey, have in mind to do lishma. That works. There's a Rashba in Chulin, has a little more complicated idea of how Omen al-Gabav works. But Omen al-Gabav is something which halakhically is normally a means to help these things, help a situation work, even if the person doing, involved in the action of making tzitzis, writing a get, is somebody that can't have the das of lishma. But if you have a gadol Omen al-Gabav, that could work. So why don't we do that with matzah? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, "V'eskimu harbi poskim, da'afil Yisroel omid al gaba." Even if you have a Jew standing on top of them, an adult, who mashir and sheikav milushay matzah smitzvah, mitzvah matzah, telling them to have kavano for matzah smitzvah, gam kemo mahani, ve'enu yotzei dechavaso afil b'di'eved. Many, many poskim hold that if you have Omen al Gabav, that will not work. Not even b'di'evad. Perhaps we'll have to see, you know, it does work by these other cases. It does work by a get, perhaps by other, maybe by tzitzis, by other cases. This might work. But the Mishnah Berurah is bringing down that does not work ideally over here by matzah. Then he does write the Yesh min haposkim shemekilin ba'omid al gabo umashir and shikavnu ba'asiyos l'shei matzah. There are those who are makel, they're lenient, and allow omid al gabo to work. The azamrin and adaiti Yisrael ka'avit, because we're saying those matzahs are made with the Yisrael, with the adult in the room. The kasvu abach v'amagin avram, the Yesh lismoch alayhu, the Bach and the Magen Avraham write that you could rely on this opinion where it's impossible any other way. So here, the Mishnah Berurah is bringing, there is a way out. Potentially, you could use Omen al-Gabav if it's the Efshir bin Acher. That's a pretty strong language. It means there's no other way to do it. But if there really is no other way to do it, he first brought the shitas that say, most assumed, even b'di'evid you can't. But if you're stuck, the Chafetz Chaim does bring that people say you could do that with the Efshir bin Acher. Then he adds one other aspect, v'tov Yisrael ba'atzmo yisayim kamkim ksas. Firstly, it's better if the Jews involved somewhat in the process. And he writes, additionally, mekol makom mutav lasas yecher shot v'katon ma'idei akum. It would be better to use a charishot of a katan than a guy. The reasoning behind all this, let's do the last point first. Omen al-Gabav itself is a chiddush. It's an idea that we do allow, but especially by a guy, A guy we're worried about the fact, adaita the nafshika oven. Since he's an adult, he could have his own das, and you tell him to do it lashma. These rabbis, they have crazy ideas. He won't listen to you. We're afraid of adaita the nafshika oven. And therefore, that's the reason in general we may not accept a guy to do things omen al gabbah. If you're stuck, and there's absolutely no other way, the Mishabur is bringing Chavetz Chaim is concluding, there is a tzad to be mekel. But he's saying, even when you're going to be mekel, it's better to have a cheresh shot of a katan do it than a guy. Because a cheresh shot of a katan, the way it's understood, is these people, their problem isn't the counter das, because they're not an adult. They don't have the same type of das as an adult would have. They wouldn't push back against you. They just don't have enough das to do it. So if you teach it to them, that's considered enough das. So that's why it would be ideally better if you're stuck and you can't have regular, as we'll talk about, Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs Jews involved in doing it. So then, okay, if you're stuck, it's better to have a Chereshot of a Katan do it than have a guy do it. That's what the Chavetz Chaim over here is concluding. Now, this itself, we'll see in a moment, is quite b'dievet. You know, Pashas, you would think in the world of 2018, we shouldn't have matzah bakeries in normal Jewish communities, maybe a far-flung Jewish community, with using Goyim, Chereshot V'Kata, because as the Chafetz Chaim writes, we should only do that with the Efshar B'din Acher. There's no other way to do it, fine. But if there's a better way to do it, this is definitely not the way to make matzahs. And especially if this is a Kavana, which is Likuva, you need this to be Yotzi Matzah, so you want your matzahs made the correct way. Chafetz Chaim throws in one more step. Vida, da'afilu adasa mekilim ba'omen al-gabov. Even those who are mekel and allow you to do it omen al-gabov, well, you stop it b'masha omer lo pama achas. It's not enough what you just say once. Kodem asiyah sheikhavim l'shem matzah smitzah. It's not enough that once you say l'shem matzah smitzah, ra'atzarech l'izor b'chol shal zeh. You constantly have to remind them about this. So yesichu daita mizeh. That they shouldn't lose das at any moment from this. Very important. It means if you are utilizing this idea of gadol omen al gabov, of having Yisrael tell them to do it with shein mitzvah, it's not enough you say it once. You constantly have to be telling them l'shein matzah mitzvah, l'shein matzah mitzvah. I went to a matzah bakery probably over 30 years ago. I still remember that scene where they were screaming, L'shei matzah mitzvah, L'shei matzah mitzvah, constantly. That's the Beferish Mishabura. Because if you only do it once, if you only do it every so often, we're afraid the mindset, you're going to lose it. That's why this mindset is so essential, so integral for the making of these matzahs. Every step of rolling it out and baking it, you need to have in mind L'shei matzah mitzvah. That's the basics you see over here from the Shabbat. Now, I'd like to bring up an issue, which I'll try to say as delicately as possible. But really, this topic that you have to have in mind, Lishma, you have to do it for the mitzvah. And therefore, ideally, matzah should not be made Feirish Mechaber by a Gentile. You have to have Jewish workers. And even a Cheresh Shot of a Katan, again, ideally should not be used. If you're stuck, if she has to be an Acher, okay, fine. An issue that you do have is sometimes matzah bakeries employ Jews who are in Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. You could have immigrant Jews came from countries, never got a Jewish education, and they're the ones making the matzahs. I remember 30 years ago in New York, they took me to the matzah bakery. That's who was making your matzahs. Immigrant Jews who probably at that point in their lives were not Shomer Torah mitzvahs. So potentially, one might argue, if the issue of Lashma is a religious das they're going to have to have, now we're not machalic between men and women. This we believe women could have in mind, also Lashma. A firm woman could have that in mind. An observant woman could have in mind. But what happens if you're not observant? And it gets trickier, as we just point out, if you're an adult. When you're an adult, so we say a dait de nafshei, you have your own das. The same way that we said by an akum, that's the lowest person on the totem pole in terms, not because we're discriminating because he's a Gentile, but because he's a thinking person. And just because you tell him to do it one way, they could have in mind to do it another way. So you have an adult person who is not religious, you tell them to do it for the mitzvah, one might argue, hey, they're an adult, they have their own das, they could push back. Maybe they're not doing it for the mitzvah. You rabbis, whatever you say, I don't know, it's crazy. So that potentially could be a problem. However, this I found, Shmuel Kamenetsky has a sefer in Hilchos Pesach, so he speaks about this issue clearly, and he paskins that 100% we could rely on matzahs made by Jews who are not Shomer Torah mitzvahs, because of the fact that most of these Jews halachically have the status of what you call a tinuk shenishba, a Jew that was captured, right? Grew up in the Soviet Union for generations. You couldn't learn about Judaism. Many other immigrants and situations, right? Even in America, people fortunately didn't have a Jewish education, don't know about things. They have the status of a tinuk shenishba, and therefore, we don't have to be worried, well, they have other das. If the rabbi is going to stand there and teach them to do it the right way, that should work. So that's what Shmuel writes. So 100%, it's kosher if you do have these people involved, even though they're not yet Shomer Torah mitzvahs. But look, we don't think, if you're going to tell them to do it, we don't think they're going to have negative das. They're better than the Akum in that sense. So you could do it. However, L'chora, I would point out that it still may not be L'chachila. Because if the only way we could ensure that they're going to have the das to do L'shei Mitzvah is utilizing the idea of Omer Al Gabov, having someone else there teaching them L'shei Mitzvah, which of course they're going to have in this situation. The Mishnah Berurah told us that's only a b'di'evet. Ideally, the person making the matzahs should be the one, the pashtas, having in mind L'shei Matzahs Mitzvah. You're the one making it. You're the one having in mind Omer Al Gabov. You're the one having in mind, L'shei Matzahs Mitzvah. If you, the person making it, doesn't have that in mind by yourself, you need someone else to sort of push you to have that in mind. That's utilizing the concept of Omer Al Gabov. And we just saw before in the Mishnah Berurah that most Achronim say Omer Al Gabov is not ideal. Now, I'm not sure. Maybe some will say this is better over here. But it's definitely not Pashut. And in fact, I assume this is part of a reason for a trend in my mind. I think it happened in the past 10 years. You know, sometimes you see these new chumras and trends, like, oh, where's this coming from? But this actually might have a decent basis. is I've seen some matzah bakeries advertising that their matzahs are only made by Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. It's a bakery in Lakewood, of course, that advertise such. I think there's another one I saw in New York, in the Five Towns. There always were groups of yeshiva people or others that you call chabura matzahs. So people would go in, bake their own matzahs, and you know, by Walter in Queens as running for, yeah, many. So those, of course, those are made by Shomer Torah mitzvahs, those are good to go. But in recent years, in Mass, they have marketed matzahs which are made by Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. That's really something that will hit this idea, is you won't have to rely on an idea of Omen El-Gabov. Omen El-Gabov was the Farish in the Shabura, that that's something which is, Yev Shabini Nacher, there's no other way to do it. Get that. But, you know, I even wonder, you know, if it's not spelled out, you could get matzahs that could be made in, you know, Eretz Yisrael today. It doesn't mean everyone who is making in our Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. It's unfortunate. We could be living in Eretz Yisrael, but it's galus. There are many people in Eretz Yisrael not Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. So, I assume on the matzahs, this is something to check into. Are these matzahs made by someone who's Shomrei Torah mitzvahs? You know, you got your matzahs, don't return them. Right? You paid good money for them.
So the 17.
So
is that guy should have a big question mark on
it? I don't know. I don't I don't like using this share as a platform to make trouble. I'm not here to make trouble. I'm here to go through halacha and this. But this is an interesting ingredient in the matzahs. The das of a matzah is a big deal. And that is what puts up the price. And, you know, ideally, yeah, it's better to get matzahs which are made by Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. But, you know, matzahs are not necessarily easy to come by, especially, like, you know, who's shipping the Lakewood matzahs to Florida? Like, who's making the mass order of them? No? It could be they are available. The co-op, I think, might have those. Okay, but you have to know. I don't know. But this is just an idea. Yes?
Is that the reason why
exactly. Yes.
I never realized that.
Yes. This is a big deal for people to make their own matzahs. You're 100% correct. Because when you're making your matzah, you know who made it. And you could have... the additional reason, there are many... matzah is something which there are many areas one could be machmir in. Many areas. And people like making their own matzahs because they could do it their way. In fact, that's a wonderful thing. They just opened... this year in East Boca, the first matzah bakery really here in South Florida. And people were going there quite a bit to make matzahs. A small little operation, but okay, hopefully they'll get bigger. Huh? Yeah, they told me they were paired for 2 weeks. Funny story, I can't resist. They were working on it for 2 weeks. They went there and they tried baking matzahs. Now obviously, you know, we know how long it takes to make matzahs, 18 minutes. So I was talking to one of my friends, Cole, and he told me we were sitting there, we were there for 5 hours. And how many matzahs do you think we made? Not so many. My wife told me, she met some lady whose husband was there in the Cole making matzahs for 5 hours. And, you know, they divided the matzahs up with different Cole people. And this guy, and maybe he's one of the younger members of the Cole, came home with like 2 matzahs. His wife was, you were gone for 5 hours, I was watching all the kids. You come home with 2 matzahs. Not so easy to make your own matzahs. That itself is a reason, you know, pay good money for it. But okay, yeah, you get it done right. So that's all one area. So the first area, really 2 parts. If you have to have this Kavanah of Lashma, number 1, it affects you can't ideally use an Akum, a Gentile, a Harishot, a Katam. And the second issue we're bringing up is, let's say you have a Jewish person, but it's a Jewish person who's not knowledgeable, who's not Shomer Torah Mitzvah, who's not knowledgeable in the Dinim of Lashma. So that might really entail Omen Al Gabav, unless someone could tell me a Chiddush is not called Omen Al Gabav, but Pashtus, that's Omen Al Gabav, which is some form of Bidiyevit. Now another issue that comes up with Lashma, Matzah's Lashma, is the famous machine matzah controversy. The story of machine matzah dates back over 100, by now probably close to 150 years ago, when the first machines were made to produce matzahs. Right? Anybody who talks about profit who's in the business knows that matzahs every Jew needs, and it takes a while if you make them by hand. If you could automate the process, go much, much quicker. Now, the first automation of matzahs obviously was quite a primitive machine, which we'll see soon, has a lot of nafkaminas in the machine itself. But by today, they have it down to such a science. I just saw the stat. It was mind-boggling. Manischewitz Matzah Bakery in Jersey City, New Jersey, makes approximately every year, they use it all, 70 million pounds of matzah. They probably sell it under other names too, but it's not just Manischewitz nowadays. But Mr. Manischewitz, way back in like France and Europe, he was the one, Elta Zeta, was one of the first people to come up with one of these machines. And they've been making matzahs for generations, machines. When it first came out, machines, so there were multiple things, it became a huge halachic debate. And there were big name rabbanim on both sides. Shlomo Kluger was originally one of the people that was against it. The Ksav Sofer, Rav Nathanson, who's a Shal Shiva Shalom Mesiv, were Materet. And there were huge, huge debates. Some of the issues involved was the fear of chametz, that maybe something will get caught in the machines and they have issues with chametz. That's something which, definitely over time able to fix and, take away any chashash. But one issue which lav davka you could fix with advancements in technology is, where's the lishma? If the machine is making the matzah, who has in mind lishma?
It's a Jewish machine.
A Jewish machine.
Only that God, the person is
right. Oh. Now, even if you tell me that, you use Omer HaGabah, so first and foremost, we already saw Omer HaGabah is a bidyevet. Not ideal. But really, over here, potentially, it's worse. I'll tell you why. Because the classic understanding, as we talked out about Omer HaGabah, is the Yisrael, the Jew, the adult, who's standing there, is teaching the person doing it to have in mind L'shem Matzah Mitzvah. When you scream L'shem Matzah Mitzvah, you're saying someone's listening. Nowadays, machines do listen, right? I have Siri making matzahs. But, right? And there's artificial das, you're going to tell me, we'll make, we now have artificial das. So, right? We had the drone Mishalach Manos, Nowadays, the smart matzah will have artificial das, the machine, I tell Siri, she repeats after me. But that, not so posh. That, how are you going to teach the machine? So, yes?
You're operating the machine. The machine is the rolling pin with the little spikes in it. It's not...
Very nice move.
Sitting in velvet.
Huh?
Sitting in velvet.
Oh. So there are those who argued back that maybe machine is better than any of the cases we had before. And I could use a machine, and there's no problem with lishma. You know why? When I utilize a machine to make matzahs, it's me who's making the matzah. I'm the man behind the machine. Right? Even the Wizard of Oz, right? Behind the thing was the man. It's all me. The machine is my utensil, my kli of how I go about doing it. But it's an extension of me. I'm the one who's doing it. And if I'm the one who's really doing it, then as long as I have in mind when I utilize my machine to make matzahs, that should be good enough. There are others, obviously the first side looked at it. No, the machine is the one making the matzahs, and therefore your das doesn't do it. But if you view the interrelationship between me and my machines, really I'm the one making the matzah. My machine is a means, a more systematic, you know, smarter way to do things. Okay, so it's me and I have the kavana. That's interesting. They said the Svara hundreds of years ago, the first machines, which are actually quite primitive, right? I'll call them like a modern day, you know, the game mousetrap, where you do one thing and it leads to many other things, many other grammas. So at least there, the starting step was done by human intervention. Nowadays, these things run as well-working machines. You just press the button, it all goes. So that's potentially a little harder to have lishma in. But Alpha PK people still say, no, that's the same idea. It's still my kli. It's still me. There was something a little bit in between. There's Rabbi Yonason Steif, who was a Rav in the Wien Kehila. He came up with a machine, which was a machine, but on every step of the process, the first part of the process needed human intervention. So it worked out to be quicker than obviously handmade matzahs because you're utilizing a machine. But each step of the process, the first step had to be manually inserted. And at that point in time, you had in mind lishma, and then it followed through with that. That was his chab, to have something a little bit in between. But really this issue of machine matzahs hits right here on the lishma. If you accept machine rot matzahs, you're accepting that the lishma was done correctly. One reason perhaps not to utilize machine matzahs would be in this area of the lishma, because, hey, it's not so easy necessary to inject lishma into a matzah made by a machine. Now again, there are, for machine matzahs, there are great people on both sides of the debate. And there are people that use machine matzah. Some say it's even better because there's less of a chashash chametz by machine matzahs than the handmade matzahs. Also, the machine matzahs, in fact, the name of the machine, you know what they taste like. You know what they, you know, have a uniform taste, crisp. You know, hand matzahs are a little bit, you know, luck of the draw. I get a good box this year. You see these people sometimes in the supermarket, you know, shaking the box of matzahs, you know.
A lot of times you get the handmade matzahs and they're all gebrocks already.
Right. They're shvarim. Yep. So that's the idea with machine matzahs. Again, people use them. Some people don't use them. But one big underlying issue on the topic is this issue of lishma. Yes.
Where does 18-minute machine matzah come in?
Okay. So I'm going to get to that soon. Really what I want to do in this next part of the share, we haven't yet defined what is the exact kavana you're supposed to have in these matzahs. What is the exact kavana? So that we're going to see now. Till now we just talked about these instances of why it's not so easy to get matzahs lishma, depending on who's making it. Now, what is the kavana that one has to have in these matzahs? So, if you would ask most people here, I would think, pretty simple kavana one would think you have to have in making the matzahs, is I'm making these matzahs, making sure matzah shmura, I'm watching them. What are they watching them from? Chametz. Any step of the process, I'm watching that there's no chametz here. Now, I didn't point this step out. There are differences of opinion. Where do you watch the matzahs from? Which step in the process? So, spoken out by the Mechaber in Tuf Nun Gimel, Sif Dalet, Hachitim Sha'osim Behem Matzos Mitzvah. This is not on your sheets. I have so many marmakomots I could put on 10 sheets. Tov L'shamram Shal Yipo Aleyam Mayim Mishas Ktzira. So he talks about an idea going all the way back from the time of the harvest. It's debated, does that mean from before you harvested or post-harvesting it? Well, the pachas mishas tchina, at least from the time you're grinding it. And, okay, further, the lisha, the afia. Pashas, you have to watch these matzahs, any good step in the process, to make sure that there's no chametz on it. That's what you're watching. That's the element of shmur matzah. However, it is clear from Rashi and from others, it's not the pshat. If you look on the first Maramakam on your sheets. Gemara in Gittin talks about matzahs kusi. These are not made by a Gentile, but rather people who had this status of a kusi, which they were Megayer, but they were called Girei Arayos. So, matzahs kusi muteres, v'adam yotzi ba yidei chavasa b'pesach. First opinion is, it works for Pesach, v'lozer oser, v'yishim nekim v'kdutim mitzvos. Kusim didn't know a lot about mitzvos. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Kol mitzvah sheichzika bal kusim, harav midakta bal yosef Yisrael." You know what? If the kusim got a mitzvah, they'll do better than an average Jew. Okay? But there's a very interesting Rashi over there. Rashi is, let's begin from the top. Matzahs kusim uteres b'pesach la'achila v'lochashin Hashem echmitzah. These matzahs are kosher for Pesach and we're not afraid. Maybe they became chametz. V'adam yotzi yichavasu b'pesach. And a person is yotze, his responsibility, his obligation on Pesach. Mishum chovas laila harisha. We're talking here about the responsibility in the first night, obviously in Gullus, first two nights. Shu chayiv lecho matzah mishtemeretz. That you're chayiv on the first night to eat watched matzah. Kedeksiv be'erev tochu matzos. Now here's the big line. Even if you know about this matzah, it was grown in the greenhouse with a perfect, I know, there's no chametz here whatsoever. Even if where you know there's no issue with chametz, you still are not yotze, unless you watched it, l'shem chovas matzah, dechshiv u'shmartim as a matzos, and therefore kusim are bekiyim according to the first opinion. So, the way that the mashma from Rashi is this das, this l'shma. Of course, you have to watch matzos at the nachametz, of course, but this idea of shmur matzah goes beyond that. Even where you know it's not chametz, it's still not kosher. There needs to be a specific shmira. Not just from chametz. You have to watch these matzahs to be matzahs, to be used at the Seder. What does that mean? I know it's not chametz, but I still have to watch these matzahs for me to be able to use them at the Seder. So perhaps a second pshat, one might say, you know why? You know what the das of the Shema is? And this you do have by other mitzvahs. Right? If someone made tzitzis, look, just, you know, 8 strings of all the knots, everything good, just didn't have in mind Lashma. What do you have?
Strings.
You don't have tzitzis. Tzitzis is something which needs a kavana, a das of Lashma, to transform it from strings to tzitzis. Part of the process which makes something into tzitzis is the das of Lashma. That's what makes it into tzitzis. So one might say, that's what's going on over here. Right? I have these matzahs. The only way it becomes a matzah which I could use on the first two nights of Pesach is if I have this das, this kavana, to transform this into matzah. That's the only way it's going to work. Just like I have to transform my strings into tzitzis, perhaps you might need das to transform a document of divorce into a get. I have to have das to transform this unleavened, expensive bread, right? Poor man's bread, right? I have to have das to transform into matzah. But this too is not the pshat. Rav Baruch Ber writes this beferish. It really precedes him. There's a Shalosh Teshuvos on a Yontif, which says the same thing. And it's clear from the Chofetz Chaim in a few spots that he 100% agrees with this. The das you're having is not to make it into matzah either. You're not making it into matzah. You know why? This he doesn't spell out, but just the way I understood it for years. Because matzah is a food. When it comes to a religious object like tzitzis, so there you need das to transform it into tzitzis. Without your das, it's strings. When you make the tzitzis and have in mind lashma, you're transforming those strings into tzitzis. But when it comes to matzah, matzah is a food. As the Torah said, when you went on the Mitzrayim, you had potato kugel. So, you know, you should eat potato kugel on Pesach, right? You have to have in mind, you have to have shma on the potato kugel. Potato kugel is potato kugel. Well, matzah is matzah. Your das is now transforming this into matzah. Now, of course, you know, in every good Jewish issue, there are always debates. Rabbi Chaim Brisker actually does seemingly spell out that you do need das to transform it into matzah. He says you have to have regular kavana plus das to transform into matzah. His Talmud of Baruch Ber, Pashtus, is disagreeing with him. And it's clear from the Mishnah Berurah, he writes at Beferish, that the das is not a das of asiyah, of making it into matzah. And seemingly the reason is because food is food. You don't need to make something into food. That's the food you need to eat. So what exactly is this kavana that you need a matzah? Very strange. But the way Baruch Ber says it, this is not just a regular kavana you have to have in making the matzah. It's some kavana which you have to infuse in the matzah, but don't worry, the matzah was already matzah. Some weird thing. You have das when you make it, that I'm making this matzah that I'm going to use during the Seder. It's not just a kavana you have in the process of making something. It's not a kavana which is transforming this into matzah. There's already matzah before you had in mind. But by you having das, when you make the matzah, somehow that das sticks. That das is now an ingredient, and now I can use my matzah. It's an external das that you're putting into this matzah. I have flour, I have water, I have das. I'm ready to go. Interesting idea. You don't find this by other mitzvahs. Other mitzvahs, you usually need one of two things. Either the das to make it into some tashmishi kedusha, some religious object, or you need das while you're doing the mitzvah. Here, this is das in making a matzah. That's going to be in the matzah. When you eat it, you can be yotze with it.
If you You're using Das and Gavanna as the same.
Yes, I'm trying. That's as not to distinguish. But Baruch Perez sometimes likes using different words. But yes.
And do you need Das or Gavanna when you eat it as well?
Yes, but that's more basic, like any mitzvah. Which is really its own discussion, but since you brought it up, it's a good point. Normally, by many mitzvahs, we hold mitzvahs ein srichos kavana. Is even if you don't have the specific das, except for maybe a couple exceptions, mitzvahs ein srichos kavana, you would say even if you didn't have it in mind. Ideally, you always should have it in mind. You know, many of the siddurim has the, you know, v'shem yichud, that's having it in mind, but you don't need that. Just simple, have in mind, that's good. Even if you don't have in mind, you're also good. But here by matzah, if you left out the das ingredient, no good. Does not work. Now, this last idea which I just shared, that the das is not a das in the making of the matzah. Your das is not something which is transforming this from unleavened bread to matzah. No, already is matzah. But it's a das you have to have. That distinction plays itself out in a very interesting way. I'll give you one example. There's a Chassam Sofer over here. The Chassam Sofer, at least in his town, talked about the fact who was cutting the grain when they made the matzah. Who was cutting the grain? Going out to fields and cutting it off. So back in the days in Chassam Sofer, he hired Gentiles to do it. We talked earlier about the fact that, hey, Gentiles and Lishma are not simple. And Omid al Gabav, you staying on top of him, telling him to do it Lishma, is very, very b'di'evid. So the Chassam Sofer says, how am I allowed to utilize Goyim in the cutting of the grain? So the Chassam Sofer says a very interesting idea. That he quotes this pasuk and this idea that you need shmira, shmartim as a matzos. But he says, but it's not, Torah doesn't say you have to do ksira lishma. It says you have to watch it. For sure by the ksira, that's not part of the process. Meaning, you don't need it in transforming this into matzah. You just have to watch it. I could have a Jew watching the matzah being cut, and that's called a shmira. Since the Chassam Sofer's understanding is, the ksira part of the matzah, when you're cutting it, so there you're definitely not making anything, and you don't need it in the making. You need to have a watching. So a Jew could watch too. That's not even Omid al Gaba. That's better than that. It just needs to be watched. Very interesting Chassam Sofer. As long as this Jew is watching the Ksira, that's enough. Now the Chassam Sofer himself says, for the later steps, not so simple, because there, the process of kneading and baking, that he thinks you can't have an outside person watch it. There the Torah expects the person doing it watching it. But at least for the ksira step, which is pre it being matzah, but something you might have to watch, he thinks it's okay since you're not transforming it. It's not part of the process. It's more of an outside type din. So it'll be okay for an outside individual to do the shmira. That's one chiddush that comes out of this. Yes. A who?
Combine the machine that does the harvesting machine.
Oh, the harvesting machine. Very interesting.
I think they do.
Hashab Shah, yeah. In that sense, I would think there's no difference between whether a guy is cutting the grain, or you're right, if you have a machine cutting the grain, according to this Chassam Sofer, yeah, as long as a Jew is watching it, that's good. In the kneading and not, maybe not. But in the Chassam Sofer says, Beferish not. But in that part of the process, an outsider watching might be good. I'll tell you one more step, which is one more step of what you just said. I found the Shalos Teshuvos Divrei Malkiel, which is a later tshuva, which said the following. We talked before about machine matzahs. And machine matzahs running potentially into this problem of kavanah lishma. So the Divrei Malkiel says, once you see from these sources that the kavanah lishma is not in the asiyah of the matzahs, it's more from the outside, so why can't you have a machine make it and an outsider have in mind lishma? He was willing to say beyond the Chassam Sofer, even by the kneading and the baking, that too you could have this outsider have in mind lishma, and that's good. Since lishma is more of an outside din to the making of the matzahs than an internal din that I need this to make this into matzah. Very interesting. Now, one more area I want to get to. We talk about lishma, and now we define it a little better. It's not watching from chametz. It's not watching to make this into matzah. It's more this external idea. It's an ingredient that you need. Without it, you can't be yotze. Okay. There's really two parts. You need this kavana dafka for matzos by the Seder. That's where you need mishtameres for the first night of Yotzi Yechiyev. What about the rest of Pesach? Ideally, you don't need it. All that you need for your matzos for the rest of Pesach is your kosher l'Pesach. Pashup Shat, you do not need this special kavana beyond the Seder. This is only something for the Seder. In fact, many people will just get their shmura matzah for the Seder, and the rest of Pesach, they'll get kosher matzah, 18-minute matzah, all these things. I'm coming back to your question. Because you don't need it for the rest of Pesach, you just need it for the Seder. Now, the Chafetz Chaim already brings down in his Be'er Halacha that there is an idea, perhaps, to have Ora Matzahs like that. One reason is, there's a Gra who says, every time you eat matzah, you're getting a mitzvah. Now, it's not a chiyuv like by the first night, but every time you eat matzah on the Yom Tov Pesach, which is a good idea, because sometimes there's nothing to eat. But every time you eat matzah, talk about having kavanah for this Gra. Every bite of matzah you have over Pesach, according to the Gra, you get a mitzvah. Now, the first night, that's your chiyuv, and that's the big mitzvah. And that for sure you need shmura matzah. But there is some idea to have shmura matzah the whole Pesach, because really everything is a mitzvah. It's better. Now, so I saw an interesting point. So people bring up, so when you're, let's say you're in the matzah bakery and you're having it in mind, or are you telling someone else to have in mind? What do you say? L'shem matzah smitzvah. So I saw somebody want to say that language is not good enough. You should say l'shem chiyuv matzah. Matzah could be a mitzvah, especially according to the Gra, all 8 days of Pesach. What you need, especially if this das is important, let's get it as clear and specific as possible. That's going to be my new chumrah. Matzah's made when they said the words Hashem Chovas Matzah. Extra $5 just for that. So I saw Eliyahu Baruch Finkel from the Mir said you need to say the words Hashem Chovas Matzah. So I just found last night Moshe Sternbach, the head of the Padasi de Haredas, he wrote a sefer Moadim Muzmanim, famous sefer. So there he has a very cute play on words. A lot of times when we do mitzvos, like by tzitzis, right? You say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, l'shem mitzvah tefillin. By matzah, we say the reverse. L'shem matzah mitzvah. We don't say l'shem mitzvah matzah. So Sternbach wants to say, because you're specifying those matzahs, l'shem matzah mitzvah, for those matzahs we do for a mitzvah, that's what I'm going to have in mind. Very nice. Cute idea. Two quick things I just want to end with. Number one, this the Chafetz Chaim talks about in this Bir Halacha, which is in the back of your sheets, which is also important, is nowadays, really, you have to have this understanding. There's two types of matzahs we have. Matzahs made for intention at the Seder, and matzahs made lav dafka, not shmur matzahs, for the Seder. Sometimes you'll see, you know, some Jewish person go in, oh, I want to get my matzahs for Pesach. They go into Winn-Dixie, go into Publix, and buy a nice box of Haaretz, Margarita, and matzahs. Not so simple. Because those aren't shmur matzahs. Were those matzahs made for the intention to be Yotze, the Chiyav, by the Seder?
In terms of when you start to shmur from it, they were shmur from the Shas, Yisha, and they were... And the person who passed the button in mind that most people are going to use it for the Seder.
Okay, so maybe. Perhaps you could say those matzahs are made that. You know, the Chafetz Chaim bemoaned in his days, it really already was a status where they made two types of matzahs. People were very medactic to have their matzahs for the Seder, and they made other matzahs. They called them stam matzahs. So you're saying maybe today it's better because they have in mind that lots of individuals will buy these. Maybe. I hope. But not so simple. It's ideally better people to have, you know, shmur matzahs. And one last thing. This I have to end with. So we spent some good time today going through this idea of the most expensive ingredient in matzah, the reason why the price is where it's at, is not because of flour or the water. It's because of the das, the kavanah, the lishma. And it's not so simple to have a Gentile or a tereshot katan or really any type of omen al gabov involved. It's a b'dieved. We talked about what exactly the kavanah is and nafkaminas or machines, other things. One last thing. They quote Rabbi Saul Salanter saying, you know what the most important kavanah you have to have when you make matzahs? When in the matzah bakery, helping them out, don't scream at the lady making the matzahs. Don't put too much pressure on her. That's the most important kavanah you have to have. It's a good idea for all our Pesach preparations. That's probably the most important kavanah, not just for matzah, but for the whole Yom Tov of Pesach. Thank you very much. Chag Kosher v'Sameach.